Bibles tonight to the book of Judges. I think Mark is more nervous than me. Amen. Glory. Mark knows exactly what he's doing. He just doesn't know that he knows what he's doing, and I'm just following him. Glory to God. Amen. A sermon entitled Sacrificial Labor out of Judges 7. We're going to read starting in verse 1. If you're there, say amen. If you're still working, say oh my. If you can't find it, just follow along. Amen. Glory to God. Oh my. Oh my. Judges. Amen. So the word of God says, Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with them rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now, therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you, and whoever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go with you. Verse 5, so he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink, and the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. Remember, they started with 32,000, and now they're down to 300. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his own place. So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands. And he sent away all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. It happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterwards, your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seashore in multitude. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread, tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. Then his companion answered and said, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, into his hand. God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. In verse 15, and so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream And its interpretation that he worshiped, he returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hands." Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your great work. We thank you for everything you do, God. Help us to understand that you can save by many or by few tonight. Help us, Father, in all that we do, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. A young woman, who was struggling to follow God's will was asked by her pastor to get a piece of paper and write these two words on it. The first word was no. The second word was Lord. She immediately, after writing down these two words, she realized that she could not say those two words at the same time. No, Lord. This illustrates that presenting, ourselves as a living sacrifice means removing our rights and turning over our labor onto him. Replacing our own will with his. See here, in this illustration, just as in the text that we read, the pretext starting in verse 6, Gideon comes in, the people are there, all the people that are coming against them, they are there and they are stealing everything from them. They're hiding in the wine press. They're going up. They're scared. And then while Gideon was in hiding, God calls him and says, "Mighty man of God." Gideon looks around. Oh, that's me. When the Ammonites are there, when the Amalekites are coming, all these, are coming against them. When the Midianites, are coming against them. Here it is, Gideon says, "Lord, I think you need to pick somebody else." But God, he tests God, and God produces, all that he needs, And we see that Gideon goes forward and he fights the Midianites. He fights the Amalekites. He fights all the rest of the armies there, And God gives him a great victory. See, we all love to hear the story of Gideon, a man that overcame adversity. If you were to look at the who's who of the Bible, more than likely, folks, Gideon's name would be omitted. It would be removed. It would not be there. You would see names like Moses. You would see names like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You would see names like David, but who is Gideon? See, to him, he was the least of the least of his clan. But even though this was what he thought, God still used him, to change, listen to me, to change the course of a nation as he led it and judged the children of Israel for 40 years. Most here in this place, to your own self past your inner circle, we are not known by a lot of people. We are not, the rich and famous, We are not the who's who's, We are not the divas of, the Hollywood elites, unless you're hiding something from us. But more than likely, listen to me, The only people that are going to know us is the people of our close surroundings. But everyone here in this place, can I tell you, you might not be the who's who. You might not be the elite, upper class, whatever it might be. Can I tell you tonight, every single one of us here in this place has a potential to be a Gideon tonight. We have the potential to change the course that our families have taken. As we look at the things that need to be done tonight, it could look, way too big for us to handle. We can many times say to ourselves, it would be better if somebody else does it. How many have said those things? Pick somebody else. Meeny, meeny, miny, moe. Oh, gone. I'm out. Count me out. See, tonight, if God has called us, if God has said we are going to be the ones that are going to have to accomplish and fulfill it. So what does it take tonight, amen, to have or to do or to be a sacrificial laborer? Tonight, it doesn't take a lot of people. See, when Gideon got ready to go against the Midianites, he started out with a large army, 32,000. Strength in numbers. That's what, the military teaches us. You got to have an advantage over your opponent, over your adversary. Strength in numbers is what we try to achieve. That's all that we've always been taught. The more people you have, the better chance that you are able to succeed and attain victory. Look back, we can look back when, Joshua came. He fought against Jericho, God gave them a great victory. They lapped around seven times. On the seventh time, they began to play their music. They were worshiping, glorifying God. God gave them a great victory. But here it is, AI. AI. What's AI? Small but insignificant. Small but unknown. Joshua said, instead of taking, the full army, what we're going to do is just take a few. We should be able, we just conquered Jericho. The walls of Jericho, came tumbling down. AI should be something easy. Joshua, misunderstood, and he did not go through. And AI, they, sent the children of Israel, running for their lives. See, that's what you and I tonight, we think that's not how God, that's what you and I think tonight, but can I tell you, that's not how God sees it. He told Gideon, you have too many. If you are successful, they will think that they did it for themselves. Let's give them an option this evening. Let's give them an opportunity. Tell them that if they are scared, go home. Gideon comes up. He gives them that option. Can I tell you? I don't know if Gideon was ready for 22,000 people to get up and say, I don't want to die. Amen? He might have thought, well, it's just going to be the first few people up in the front. They're going to get up and say, Gideon, it was nice to be with you. I wish you the best. But 22,000 out of 32 folks, 1,000, they went home. They went home to the things. Can I tell you, when people leave the things of God, they just go back to what they were doing before. See, if we would be honest this evening, we feel better, more secured when we are a part of a larger group that is attempting to conquer or do something. The danger is, in a large group, it takes credit upon itself. If we look at history, things that have been accomplished, have not been accomplished by large groups, of people, but by smaller cells. This evening, look around you. It's Wednesday evening. This is what you would call the core, almost the core of the church. Can I tell you tonight, what God is going to accomplish, He is going to accomplish with many or with a few. Do you and I believe that tonight? Or would you be one of the 32,000 that just left? How many know it's easy to run, but it takes courage to stand? See, it doesn't take the smartest of people. You know, sometimes my words get mixed up. In my mind, I'm reading English, but as they come out as Spanglish. And then people begin to laugh, and I'm like, what are they laughing about? And I'm like, oh, I'm hearing myself, and I'm like, oh, that's what they laughed about. But can I tell you, God doesn't need the smartest of people. I wasn't in the top percentage. The only reason I was number 34 to graduate is because my last name starts with a B. Amen. Or else I'd have been a little further back. See, after the 22,000 people that left God, God told Gideon, you still have too many. A group of 10,000 was down to 300. He told him to go and drink water. The ones that went and lapped the water. Those are the ones that God kept. The ones that got down on their knees. Those are the ones that God sent home. See, the ones who thought they were smart, got down on their knees to hide from their enemy. What happened is that they got sent home. The ones who lapped, who brought the water to their mouth, God kept. Because, listen to me, while you're there, replenishing yourself, you still have to be able to keep your eyes on the enemy. You still have to be able, to see, the enemy's onslaught, if those onslaughts are going to come. The enemy will come at every direction. And listen to me, for those that went down, they covered themselves but still fulfilled their needs. But they were not keeping an eye out for the enemy. See, tonight, You don't have to know everything from Genesis to Revelation. You don't have to have a theology degree. You just have to have a heart that is willing to do something or anything for God tonight. Next, you don't have to be the bravest. See, the truth is, if the truth be told, those 22,000 that were, amen, that were sent and were scared, they went home. But can I tell you, those 10,000 that were kept, I guarantee you, they were probably like, I should have went. In some part of their life, inside their lives, amen, they were there. Can I tell you, they were probably scared. Gideon, even though down deep in his heart, amen, he was frightened. Remember, he was hiding. But he said, I'm going to trust in you, God. See, you may be scared tonight of what you are going to face this evening and where the Lord is going to take you. You may be unsure, amen, if can I even fulfill and accomplish this task? You may be afraid that you might fail in the calling that God has called you to do. But can I tell you something? You can rest assured tonight that anything you do for God, He will be there right along the whole way to help you until the very end. See, Gideon was scared, folks. He was outnumbered. He was not trained, amen, in military training. He was not a general, a captain. He was there, amen, the least of the least of my clan. His army was just what was left, amen, of a bunch of people that did not want to fight. But even though in great odds, folks, Gideon still did what God told him. Can I ask you tonight, will you do what God has called you to do? Or are you going to give the peace sign? I'm out of here. I'm gone. You fight. I don't want to die. You guys have a good one. I'll be praying for you in the fight. That's easy to do, isn't it? See, you might be afraid. You don't have the resources. You might think, amen, you're not smart enough. There might be, amen, so many more things that are going through your mind right now. Can I tell you? God is smarter than us. Amen. God, do we believe that God is smarter than us? See, God is smart enough to get you and I through what you and I are going through. The only thing God needs is one thing. It's for you to say, God, I'm going to trust and I'm going to obey. We just need to be obedient and carry out what God has called you and I to do. Obedience tonight is what it takes to labor for the Lord. As I close tonight, God, this evening, is looking for one thing, faithfulness. Faithful people. See, Gideon didn't trust himself very much. If you and I would be honest, he didn't trust the people that were around him. They all left. I'm down from 32,000 to just 300. What in the world happened? But one thing Gideon did have, he might have not known how, but he was still willing to trust and follow the Lord. Can I tell you tonight? It would blow my mind if I would have known that I would be in Colorado Springs today, 27 years ago. But I started out in Killeen. I just loved God because I knew what God had done in my life. I said, God, whatever you want, God says, okay, I'm going to take you up on it. You're going to go to Kansas City, Kansas. Well, let me find out where Kansas City. First, let me find out where Kansas City, Kansas is. Okay, it's right there. Okay, I'm gone. I get there. Listen to me, folks. I get there, and I'm a Gideon. The first neighborhood that we went on, it was so, it was a place that looked like a war zone. I called my pastor, and I said, Pastor, let me retreat and surrender. He said, Jesus, pray. I said, Pastor, I don't want to pray. I want to go back. Pastor, send me back. Pastor, they're going to kill Maribel and I, and she's pregnant. She's 7 months pregnant right now, Pastor. What about my twins? My kids? We're all going to die. Don't you see? He was from there. He pastored there. He said, as soon as you're going to be all right, go pray. I said, okay. God built a church. We went back to Killeen after 6 years. I said, God, what are we doing back in Killeen? God used that time to be able to refresh us. And we were able to be a blessing to the church. And the church grew, by about 40% while we were there. And then God had another plan. I said, God, you got too many plans for my life. God, settle me down. I need you to take over the church in Garland. I said, okay. I said, one thing I told God is, God, I hate the Dallas Cowboys. Don't ever send me to Dallas. Guess where God sent me? I said, if there's a greater word for hate, that's what I had for the city of Dallas. I said, God, I don't want to go to Dallas. Well, you're going to go to Dallas. And God built this church. My wife and I were comfortable. My wife and I were set. God had his church. We were right in the verge of possibly going full time. And then God says, I got another plan for you, Jesus. You're going to go to Colorado Springs. Let me pack all my stuff again. We don't know, folks, where God is going to send us. But can I tell you, just like Gideon, my wife and I had to trust the Lord. Every night I get up, my nose is clogged up. Or every morning when I get up, my nose is clogged up. My wife can't breathe. She's snoring right next to me. But we're having the time of our lives. Why? Because we don't know God's plan. But we said, God, you do, and we're going to trust you. We said, God, I don't know. Listen, if to be honest, I don't know. But I trust that God does. And because I trust that God does, I said, God, whatever, wherever, however, just don't send me to California. God, just keep me away from there. I'll go and visit my family, but that's as far as I'll get there. See, Gideon trusted God. So many things, amen, tonight that we can say that we don't have. We're not this, we're not that. We don't have this, we don't have that. There's some in this place that might have more faith, amen, than others. Years that I've been serving God, my faith is not in what the arms of the flesh can do. My faith is not by what I see. My faith is not by what I touch. My faith tonight, folks, has always been and will always be in God. Tonight, do we believe? Listen to me. You are going to have to answer this question for yourself. Do we still believe, amen, that all things are possible to God, through God who gives us strength? Or are there things that you believe that are too impossible for God? Don't let, amen, our own understanding keep us from doing, amen, anything for God. Trust in the Lord, and He will allow us to do all things. What's impossible for God tonight? Anybody, what's impossible for God? The answer was supposed to be nothing, Pastor. What's impossible for God? So will we trust in God? Will we trust in God then? If the answer is nothing, if you are one of the ones that were scared, will you trust in God tonight and say, God, I am not going to run. I'm going to stay and fight because the cause is worth it. Let me have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Amen. You're here in this place. You're not saved. You're here in this place. You're not right with God. It would be our pleasure. We're not going to put you in front of the mic tonight. We just want to be able tonight to pray with you, to pray for you. If that is you tonight and you are in this place, you're not saved, or you were once saved, but fear, intimidation, the lure of the world drew you back and you went back. The Bible says that just as the dog returns back to his vomit. Can I tell you that's what you and I would do if we backslide, when we backslide? Tonight, God wants to save you. God wants to touch you. God wants to redeem you. God wants to do a mighty work in your life. But you're in this place tonight. Let's take care of business first. You're here tonight and you are not right with God. Will you trust in God tonight? Will you trust in God? We want to pray for you. Would you lift up your hand? All I want to know is who to pray for. God sees that hand. Anybody else tonight? Anybody else? You can put the hand down. Anybody else tonight? You want to give your life. You want to surrender your life to Jesus. God sees that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else tonight? You want to give your heart and life to Christ. Can I tell you, fear is real. But the Lord is bigger. We are able to overcome because God gives you and I the strength and the abilities in our inabilities. Anybody else tonight, you want to surrender your life to Jesus? You want to surrender your heart to the Lord? If you lifted up your hand, would you look at me? You honest? Come on. Valerie? Levantate la mano. Ven. Thank you. Jesus loves you, okay? There's no condemnation. Up the altar tonight, church. We're going to believe God. We're going to trust in the Lord and lean not upon our own understanding tonight. We're going to trust in the work of God tonight. Can I tell you, they were there. And as they were there, they were afraid. 32 out of 32,000, 22,000 people left. Because I don't know where I'm going. I don't have all the certainties. I don't know all the whereabouts. Give me the plan first and then I'll go. In the 27 years, I would have never thought that my life would have ventured out to be able to go into Jamaica, to be able to go into Dominican Republic, to be able to go into Bangalore, India, amen, to be able to go into, amen, Foshan, China, to be able to go, amen, to Guatemala, to be able to go, amen, to Matamoros, to be able to go to Querétaro, there, amen, Santiago de Querétaro in Mexico, to be able to go, folks, to Mexico City, amen, to be able to go to, amen, Honduras, and, amen, if God wills, to be able to go in the near future to El Salvador. I've been able to go to Houston. I've been able to preach in Killeen. Been able to preach in Belton or Temple. Belton. I've been able to build, amen, friendships all over the world. And I've been able to see many people saved. You know why? Not because of what this guy can do, but because of what God can do. Of what God can do, folks. And can I tell you, when I trust in God, I say, God, when I'm looking at things the way I write them down, they don't write down the way I thought, but God still uses those things to be able to come out. Because I pray and I say, God, let not these words fall void. Let not these words fall, but let them touch, God, people's hearts. Let them bring forth life. God, use our lives here. Did I say something wrong? Use my life? No, use our lives. Because it's not me, it's us. As God is able to use us, we will be able to make a greater impact upon COS Springs. Amen. Blessing is like, what's COS? Colorado Springs, girl. And God will move. We're praying for a building. God will move. We're praying for souls. We're praying for family members. God will move, because it's not going to be us. It's going to be God. John, won't you close us in prayer?